There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here this hour. Easy to get in touch with the show. 251-343-0106. So you put that in your contacts. 56 hours a week of live local shows every day of the week. Local shows, local people, all of us right here coming out of the opulent studios at Airport and 65. So you can... You can text this show. You can call this show. You can do that in the evenings. You can do that on the weekdays, weekends, lots of shows. So put that in your contacts, 251-343-0106. Plus, additionally, you can send us a talkback message through the FM Talk 106.5 app. But we'll get to that later. We'll get to that later. Without ado, and it's I hope there's a solid, well, I may know it, but I'll make it seem like there's not a solid reason that Kyle Hamrick doesn't join us this week. But Scott Johnson's coming in to tell us, first of all, do you think, I mean, is Kyle just AWOL? What's going on?
Yeah, he's just giving up.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So if you're listening out there, Kyle, you know, we're pretty disappointed, you know, with it. So my new best friend on Thursday, Scott, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good man. All right. Want to talk, and we'll get to nappies and nappy voting and all that stuff here in just a little bit. But there's a lot to talk about. You and I were talking about during the news break. And even though it's Grant has a story up at lanyapmobile.com, I think all of us in town are talking about the bomb found at Big Creek Lake at the dam. What are you hearing there in the newsroom at Lanyap?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. I think the FBI, the Homeland Security, all involved in responding to this threat out at Big Creek Lake. Obviously, that's in West Mobile. They call it an IED, so it's improvised explosion device. And there's videos. I believe some of the local TV stations have videos of them detonating it. It looks pretty small detonation. I'm not an expert by any means. I don't know what bit is big or large. So I really don't know what kind of practical impact it could have had in terms of, you know, destroying the dam or, but I'm sure there's many more people with more knowledge on this than I currently have.
Well, and most of us, this is kind of new, but there's questions I know y'all are asking that I'm asking. A simple one was just these routine inspections. I think that's a good thing to, you know, they do it on bridges and roadways and all that kind of stuff. So routine inspections of this infrastructure with the dam, is it yearly, monthly? Do we know how long it's been since they surveyed that section and there wasn't anything there and now it is? That doesn't exactly solve the caper, but it does kind of narrow things down.
Yeah, it seems the thought of somebody going scuba and finding something like that seems really bizarre. I mean, I don't even know how I would react. I mean, I can't imagine these people go down there expecting to find something like that.
So. No, you go through a lot. You go through your tank faster than you thought you would, though, when you see an explosive. You might have your breathing pretty regulated, and then you see that, and you burn up some oxygen. All right, well, we'll keep a watch on that over at lanyapmobile.com. Let's talk about this headline you've got up. And this guy was on the show earlier this week, Wes Allen, Secretary of State, running for Lieutenant Governor. Headline here, Allen is accused of self-promotion in taxpayer-funded ads. This is very interesting because there's often in Alabama people that have one job with the state they're running for another or something to that effect. So how much, I ask myself too, like when Wes Allen is on with me, is he Wes Allen? Because I asked him about voting stuff and coming up on Tuesday. How much of that is Wes Allen, Secretary of State? How much of that is Wes Allen, the candidate? I don't know, but what about us spending money on ads here? What'd you find out?
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, like that, the lines blur greatly in those situations. I mean, you might see a public official making a point to have more press releases ahead of an election in their official capacity. And in terms of proving, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, I don't think that's likely possible that you can prove intent here. But we did get information from a local group, you know, the Common Sense Campaign, kind of a Tea Party affiliate in the past. A lot of people are familiar with them. But they kind of put this, you know, statement together concerning his spending on voter registration advertising and photo ID advertising. And that's actually advertising that his office is required to do every year. And they actually get special funding from the state general fund to do that. This is a group that is endorsing his opponent, John Wall, of course. And so, you know, I did look at some of those numbers and, you know, okay, I guess there's good questions there. Now, when I called former Secretary of State John Merrill, his comments were actually, you know, pretty to the point. And that's why I thought that this was worth putting a story out on. He's not endorsed anyone in the race. He's not being paid by anybody for this race. Again, he left in 2022 when Wes Allen was elected. He was term limited. He had served since 2014. But his points, and I thought, you know, it tied away from the politics and the upcoming election and put it more towards the numbers and the effects. So he's accusing Wes Allen of basically spreading his name and name recognition, boosting it ahead of those announcing his lieutenant governor campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he points to the amount of spending that he had on these ads. And, you know, it's pretty simple stuff. Register to vote, get a photo ID. What John Merrill says is, well, for 8 years, we did a whole celebrity guest campaign. I had Nick Saban. We had Lionel Richie. We had they even had Donald Trump as a guest promoting voter registration in Alabama. He said, long story short, we had a net increase of registered voters by 150,000. In the time I was, and he points to the ad that Wes Allen are running, and it's him. You know, introduces himself as I'm Wes Allen, and then he encourages people to vote. Now he points at the registered voters in the 3.5 years that Wes has been in the office, and it's a fraction of that. I think it's a little more than 100,000 new net increase in registered voters. So His criticisms are that if it was a voter registration campaign, it was poorly done, and he says it's hard to see how it could be not a name recognition boost ahead of his seeking higher office.
I mean, but if there was no ad or outreach, you could say that's a fail, right? I mean, if there was no attempt to get more people to register to vote, you're the Secretary of State, that's your job. But Merrill's problem is what? That it's because when he did it, he had the celebrities. And in this case, Wes Allen has himself in it. I'll say this. John Merrill was on the show a lot on this station, elsewhere. He would always pick up the phone and come on. Right. And okay. So was he campaigning then, or was he, you know, was he just giving us stats on voter registration, or, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is. I don't know how, unless Wes Allen got on in the ad and you have it embedded in your story, but unless he got on and said, hey, I'm Wes Allen, are you campaigning to get registered to vote? Are you governing yourself, lieutenantly, to vote? You know, unless he starts slipping stuff in like that or said, here I am in front of the governor's mansion, but I'm actually here talking to you as Secretary of State. I just don't know where you draw that line.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly how he's responded. You know, the office has called all this ridiculous, as it's mandated under the law. And, you know, that's his position, is that this is my requirement to do it. And, no, and that's a valid it's a valid point from his office. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, you have to look at both sides and, you know, come away with who you more compelling. In terms of if we're going to try and prove intent, I really don't know how much that's impossible of other than, you know, getting him on a hot mic saying so.
Right.
So,
if there's some email that said, hey, we're going to do the ads this way. So I can promote my, you can say that's what he meant to do, but if you don't have anything written down, you can't prove that.
Sure thing. And he pulls back in the money. This is money. This is, you know, you can have a big effect if you do it this way. And instead he chose to do it this other way that incidentally all, you know, if it does, it increased his name and put him out there in front of voters more and more. So, I think at the end of the day, that might be the stronger criticism is how effective you were, and being good at your job isn't necessarily a matter of, you know, breaking any rules or anything. So,
if just joining us, talking to Scott Johnson with Landyap, landyapmobile.com. Let's keep it on the politics here. And the question, I mean, I watch y'all's reporting, I watch your social media. I don't know where it ranks in your things to get reactions from people, but y'all's discussion of Senator Tuberville's residency and residency requirements for gubernatorial I think they got to be top 10 in things that get interaction. I watch y'all report here. So it'll be more of that because the McFeeters, right? McFeeters lawsuit. What happened with this week?
Well, I mean, McFeeters, his opponent, Republican, he's obviously been very outspoken on questioning Tuberville's residency. He filed a lawsuit after the Alabama GOP declined to, you know, initiate a hearing or a challenge on his qualifications. And that I think that might be a little misconstrued. Back in February, he presented this challenge, and it wasn't heard. It was just dismissed. So they never even took an opportunity. It sounds like the Tuberville campaign had heard that the challenge was placed and had, you know, I guess gone to them directly, and then they dismissed it from there. But they never actually proceeded to actually any kind of review or presenting of facts or anything like that. Regardless, so McFeeters filed a lawsuit last month in Covington County. His effort obviously is to, you know, he's requesting a jury trial to basically put this on before a jury. Now, the Alabama GOP had just responded within the last couple of days to that lawsuit, essentially saying, well, according to state law, this is not actually a question for judges or juries. And actually, ultimately, even if, you know, if there is a post-election challenge, that actually goes to the Alabama legislature, not a court. So all this is news to me. I'm learning a lot about Alabama politics.
As you report on them. Yeah, well, there's a lot to do on this. What it comes down to, okay, first of all, let's go back. So what's the law say? And then we can go back into the, you know, because this has been round and round. Did he really live? You know, did he have homestead exemption there in Auburn? Was that his son? Does he what's the rule?
Yeah. These criticisms have been around since he ran for office and for Senate in 2019. So they're not new criticisms. Now, they were being raised at the time by Jeff Sessions, et cetera, when he was running. But they've become up again because the laws governing the governor's office and the lieutenant governor's office, which require a candidate to be a resident citizen for the 7 years prior to the election. So given that standard, Tuberville should be able to prove that he was a resident citizen. There might be some disagreements about what exactly that is, but he has to be able to prove he was that by November 2019.
So 2019. So you would have to be, when you say definitive proof, too. I mean, what constitutes definitive proof? Could you bring multiple things or what? Yeah.
That's a good point. Now, the people will disagree about that. You look at various things. You look at, well, does he have to have a driver's license? Does he have to have, where did he vote? Where did he file taxes? Where did, you know, I just got a mailer for the school system where I have to show my residency for the school system. I've got to show two forms of ID. I got to, if I don't have tax receipts or maybe a, if I don't have property, if I don't own property and have property tax receipts, I have to have a renter's lease or a renter's agreement. I have to get utility expenses. I think all of those are probably factors into, you know, whether or not, if this ever went to a, you know, an actual, the party reviewed it internally or it went to a court. I'm sure all of those things will fall in line. But I think from what I gather most, I think most people would say that a income tax return, because it's required for a resident, if you're earning money and you're a resident of the state, you have to file an Alabama tax return. So I think in for most people that I've heard or responded to any of our coverage, that's primarily the thing that they would say is would be the most compelling.
But that really, there wasn't a decision made on that.
No, and I understand, it's my understanding that that wasn't presented to the Alabama Republican Party as a tax return. So I believe at the most, it was probably a driver's license, voting registration file. So and whether or not that satisfies that requirement, I don't know.
Okay, we'll keep watching it because y'all, if y'all didn't realize, you're going to be heading to the, I don't know if people know this, but you're heading to the polls on Tuesday. If you listen to this station, you know you're heading to the polls on Tuesday. People want to get y'all online like I do. I mean, I know that the new issue's out. You can talk about the cover story, but also tell them about how to get signed up.
Yeah, go to laneyatmobile.com. You can sign up for the first month for $1, and then it's just 30 cents a day after that. So we're putting out, I want to say, it's probably 7 to 8, 9 times more content online that we put in our weekly newspaper. We can't cram everything inside the print, so it's definitely worth a bang for your buck.
Okay, and have y'all crashed the internet yet with the nappies this year?
No, but we are cracking down on those the international cheating, the notorious, you know, getting the sweatshops to vote for them. So we're cracking down on that and still getting record voters.
Very good. So, and you have to get your, when you go vote in the nappies, you have to turn in your property tax stuff, right?
Yeah, we're still waiting.
Scott, appreciate it, man. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right, there goes Scott Johnson with Lane Yep, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 128 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And yeah, reminder here, the nappy voting is open, votenappies.com. We appreciate your votes. The redistricting has not changed any of the voting in the nappies, so you're good. And but there will be no runoff. But it's voting is now. So hit up that media section and vote away. And it's like I said, we're competing against each other in many, many of these categories, which is good. You know, it was just these things weren't set up for a radio station that has so many local people on it, you know. But I'm glad that we are. And so, yeah, you get to choose between multiple people that are here on FM Talk 106.5, and we're competing against each other, and that's good. Also, in there's a bunch of other categories out there, right? You could Best Mobilian, Best Baldwinian. I think those are always interesting. You can get those votes in. You can get your favorite stores, restaurants, all that good stuff in there. So let it rip at votenappies.com. And, yes, vote early and often, although they keep you got to vote just once a day. There were people in this stuff years ago, and you heard Scott talking about it, and Rob has talked about it, and Ashley have talked about it, that were using, like, I don't know if it, I mean, it was like a, I don't know if it was a sweatshop or just a high-tech sweatshop out there to try to put themselves over. I think they've got that under control. So there you go. I don't know if they've gone to hand counting or not. Not trying to start trouble there. All right, let's see. Squirrel Vereen said, I hope the device, he's talking about the IED grenade thing they found on the dam there, Big Creek Lake. I hope the device wasn't from one of those radical beaver defenders trolling the city's pages. Well, I mean, the beavers would be against, right, blowing up dams. I mean, my head-to-head with beavers over the years has been me blowing up their dams, and they're not, I don't like it. You're talking about dam security? Get some beavers on the job. Right, news coming up. We'll be right back. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Yeah, I saw that wreck this morning. We were coming eastbound. And by the way, airport's back open. That's an old news report. Airport's open. But it was obviously, I had to have a description from my co-pilot. My son was, he said, "Dad, look," and they have a drone up. And I'm like, "Yeah," and I have to drive. You know, I have to drive. But the area there of that accident, heading westbound, I mean, it wasn't just compact. It was stretched out. And yeah, he was giving me the play-by-play. He's like, "Look at the drone." I'm like, "No, got to look at the road." But he said there's a drone over it, I guess, filming for the accident scene. But yeah, tragic. It's a deadly accident happened this morning on airport. And you don't need to know now, but it's be west of Hillcrest, right? And before you get to Foreman. It says here the story from KRG said they involved a Dodge Charger traveling west on airport. Charger struck the victim's vehicles. It attempted to enter westbound traffic. Second driver died at the scene. So there you go. Airport is open there. Also, while I'm thinking about it, let me give you a heads up here and give you an update. So I'm talking, I've talked to you over time here about my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms and what they're doing to expedite, there's a good word of the day, expedite the process of getting your tax stamp so you can get that silencer you've been wanting. Okay, it is now, I mean, this is the time to do it because the tax stamp fee has been eliminated, right? That was part of the big, beautiful bill. So that $200 is gone. So you're saving $200. You go in there. It is a pretty darn fast process. I have done it personally. You go through. The Stone Arm staff can help walk you through. But they've got a computer system in it. Like, you can only – the stuff you put in is what you're supposed to put in at that page. And because I used to print out the stuff to send off to the ATF to get a silencer. And it was like, if you didn't do it right, it would have been kicked back. This computer that Jeff has out there, you put your stuff in, it just asks you, then go to next and go to next. Plus, it does your fingerprints and the photo and all that in one place. He gets you in and out in about 30 minutes on doing that. And the average approval time is 2 weeks or sooner. Like I said, they're getting some people turned around in 48 hours from going, "Man, I wish I could buy a suppressor," to, "Hey, here's your green light to buy one." And luckily for all of us, large selection of silencers, suppressors, cans, all that good stuff, whatever you want to call them, in the store. And you can get them. Listen, there's not just a selection per calibers or that you're shooting, but there's also different kinds, and they can guide you through it. They were a great, great resource for me. Plus the firearms, used and new, in stock. And ammo, they've got it. Accessories, they've got it. So you've been thinking about this for a long time, gonna do it for a long time. We'll get it done now at Stone Arms. StoneArmsInc.com is the website, but make it all happen in person at Stone Arms. They're about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard. All right, to the text line here. Let me get caught up. Okay, Michael says, with it being Moss, it's probably just really an IUD that worked its way out of a septic system, and they mistyped the E instead of the U. Oh, my gosh. We found an IUD. This is a good question. Jason says, Sean, do you see any similarities between what Wes Allen is accused of and what we see locally from Sheriff Birch, either on the Katherine Robertson ad or Ask the Sheriff? So this is something, that's why I was thinking about it. And Wes Allen was on, right? So let's add Wes Allen was on the show this week. I've dealt with this over the 17 years of this station, and I have to think about it. But I'm not going to not talk to our elected officials, right, because they're also running for that same office or another office. It's. But I do think about it, Jason. And sometimes you'll hear, I think this week our conversation this week with Sheriff Birch talked nothing about the campaign. Right? So he can come in and talk about the campaign. Could do that kind of separately, and we've done that. He has done that. But Wes Allen, you know, I'm trying to figure out stuff for voting on this coming Tuesday, so I have the Secretary of State on. He is also running for another office, but I would be remiss in my job if I didn't still talk to those folks during the period of time. Right? Like, if I said, okay, well, 3 months out, we won't talk to anybody who's running for an office, well, I think that puts us at a loss in getting information. So, but Jason, I absolutely, that's stuff I think about. Yes. Sometimes I get texts, have you thought about such and such? And I'm like, no, never even thought about the idea. Jason, that's something that absolutely is on my mind. He says, any local polls yet? How local? Because there's some, if you'll go to alabamadailynews.com, Todd Stacey's website, there's a poll they had out, I guess came out the end of last week, looking at some statewide races. Doesn't have everything. And it, I don't think it does the sheriff's race here or in Baldwin County, but that's the best I've seen yet. You know, the thing about polls, we get fewer and fewer of them, I think, when it's local because it costs money to do it. And you've got to have somebody who's, you know, there's got to be enough interest in it for them to commission the poll, spend the money to do it. So maybe the bigger the races are, obviously the more polls you get, the smaller. So I have not seen anything. I have not seen anything like super hyper local yet. you know how to make me laugh because it doesn't have Meta says new band name. And we have a running, doesn't have Meta and I don't, but I mean, we can, you can join our text group. We have a group of guys that send band names to each other. Like when you hear something funny, you go, that's my band name. He said, new band name, Big Creek Lake Bomb Squad. Well, if they're not playing somewhere out in West Mobile on a Saturday afternoon, then you're missing I think you're right, doesn't have Meta. Let's see. Unnamed texter, I think. And once again, I'll continue my campaign to have y'all give yourself a nickname or something on the text line. But it says, Christine Warner's ad is so annoying. She needs a better AI program to mimic Trump. It comes off as mocking him. I still like her as my candidate, but it knocks her down a notch, in my opinion, that nobody asked for. You know, this is one that, that doesn't bother me, but I'm not very puritanical in political beliefs. I think, I mean, you should, I don't know, she was making it, I think, in the ad, like supporting her, but this idea that you can't mock, you know, people say, well, Sean, I heard you the other day and you said such and such about Trump. I said, I absolutely did. I don't give the protection on that, but I don't, you know, I hear how you heard it, but I think it was not for mocking in her ad. But you know, it's all in the all in your ears and what you hear. All right, let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Southern Jedi said, "It's okay, guys. Boss will install vehicle checkpoints on 98 with a toll and mandatory car wash to protect our drinking water from the IEDs." What did they spray down the dive boat that went into Big Creek Lake? Did they have to do that out of one of the paddle boats? I mean, it looks like in the video, it's not one of their boats from the landing there. Did they have to do a spray before they went in? Just wondering. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
To 148 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along, and I get to break some news here on the show. Well, I'll let him do it. It's my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Why don't you tell him what you just told me? Y'all got a new thing coming out here on the which tractor? The MX.
So all of our MX tractors right now, we're running a promotion starting today. Limited quantities available, just what we have in stock right now, and you buy the MX tractor, it can be the tractor, loader, attachments to go with it, or it can just be the tractor and the loader, or just the tractor. But you buy an MX tractor from us, like I said, limited quantities available. But you're going to get a free 42-inch Kubota Zero Turn to go with it. So we're going to throw that in for free. It does not matter if it's cash or finance deals. So if you're in the market for, a midsize or compact tractor, come by, check it out. We're right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. We've got some of these tractors in stock right now, and we're going to throw in that 42-inch zero turn.
I like that a bunch. Also, for people looking straight down a project this coming weekend, which got in rental? I mean, you got the big equipment there and the
stand-ons? Yeah, so I'm actually down here in the rental yard as we speak. We got some mini excavators, some tractors, telehandlers, with all the different attachments to go with them, sitting here on the yard right now, ready to go. Some on trailer, some off trailer. So if you got a truck that can haul it, we've got a trailer, and a lot of these are already loaded up, ready to go. But if you do not have a trailer or not a truck that can haul this, we can deliver it. So get in touch with us, come by, see us. We can make it happen. Like I said, we got plenty of stuff on the yard right now, ready to go.
Excellent. All right, well, tell them how to find you.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171 and visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Hey, good stuff, Blaine. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there he goes, Blaine over Parrish Tractor. I we could talk more about the Big Creek Lake thing, but the other one that caught my attention, I guess, this morning, and I think Jeff talked about some, maybe the guys did this morning, but this is from the Daily Caller. Headline, the CIA seized JFK MKUltra files out from under Tulsi Gabbard. This whole thing with the Tulsi Gabbard, and like, I forget what the thing she said where she got on the wrong side of Trump, but they didn't say anything about her for a while. But this story from, Daily Caller says, two intelligence community officials confirmed that CIA officials took documents from the JFK and MKUltra files that were being reviewed by Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, for declassification. I'm interested, too, in the CIA operating inside the United States. That's okay. Maybe they'll explain that at some point. So the CIA whistleblower testified to the Senate Homeland Security Committee on Wednesday that the agency, quote, took back 40 boxes of JFK and MKUltra files and illegally monitored the computer and phone usage of Gabbard's investigators looking into the alleged cover-up of the origins of COVID-19. Notably, MKUltra was an illegal CIA experiment program that used drugs and psychological torture to develop mind control and interrogation techniques. People will also tell you that it kind of dovetails in with the Manson murders, but that's another show, right? It says News Nation's Katie Pavlich reported that people from the CIA took documents related to the JFK assassination and MKUltra from the National Reconnaissance Office last year in the middle of the night during a government shutdown and have not returned, is withholding them from ODNI. Why? And why is the CIA doing it? It says, prior to the testimony from this James Erdman, a CIA spokesperson Liz Lyons claimed that the committee was acting in bad faith by not notifying the CIA that he would be testifying. That's because he wouldn't have a chance to have a horrible accident, right? Lyons went on to say, the witness testifying today is not appearing as a whistleblower in pursuit of the truth, but instead a response to the subpoena issued by Chairman Paul. Liz Lyons added, this proceeding amounts to nothing more than a dishonest political theater masquerading as a congressional hearing. As the CIA has already assessed, COVID-19 most likely originated from a lab leak, and efforts to undermine that conclusion are disingenuous. End quote. So, I thought it came from a pangolin, remember? Not from the place where they're studying bats. Former CIA officer John Kirikou explained to Fox News' Jesse Waters during an interview last night that the CIA does not have the authority over the DNI or the president. Hopefully CIA is not supposed to have the authority over the president. Kirikou went on to say, CIA cannot overrule the president, and CIA cannot even overrule the Director of National Intelligence. They are mandated to be declassified. The American people have the right to know what's in these files. Kirikou went on to say, real life isn't supposed to work this way. This is crazy. So that's it's I think there's like, this one has handles, right? There's a lot of times things come out of Washington, you're like, well, like it seems, it feels, but this one, this three-letter agency did a thing to this other three-letter, and they don't have the right to do this, as it's explained here. There may be a completely other explanation, but they don't have... CIA goes to the DNI office, takes the thing, and won't give them back. It's the way this report is, right? Also, Representative Luna, Anna Paulina Luna, threatened to subpoena the CIA. This is going to get interesting. Threatened to subpoena the CIA if the files were not returned to the ODNI within 24 hours. Okay, this is one to watch. We'll watch this one. This one will keep my attention here. But yeah, something's happened with, like, Gabbard has somehow has gotten pushed to the outside. Maybe she wasn't. And I think there were more than one of the group around President Trump that weren't crazy about the idea of going to war with Iran. I'll just throw that out there. Also, did you see that this came, I guess it came from last week, but this gets to, I see it online a lot, or talking to people who have different political beliefs than I do. Like during the last assassination attempt there at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, they said, oh, well, he set that one up too, meaning Trump. As I've said, I do think there's probably a theory there. I think if there was a conspiracy for President Trump to fake an assassination attempt at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, it was all based on getting Lindsey Graham to get the Senate to vote on money for the White House ballroom. There's my theory. Nobody likes that. But Detroit News had the story up. It said, many Americans think Trump assassination attempts were fake, according to a survey. Now, these are surveys out here, so... Says about one in four Americans think the April shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner was staged with a marked partisan divide, according to a survey published. Roughly one in three Democrat respondents said they believed the event was staged, compared to one in eight Republicans. But that's still one in eight Republicans. Now, I don't know the methodology of who they got in the survey. So survey says take a grain of salt with this. According to the survey published by NewsGuard, a company that rates the reliability of online news outlets, respondents between the age of 18 and 29 were also more likely than older people to think the incident was staged. Well, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That's what they said, that tracks with what I hear on those streets with those kids out there, since I end up bumping into them from time to time. Some of them happen to be my progeny. Let's see. So, yeah, I thought that was the survey went, here it goes. NewsGuard survey found that 24% of U.S. adults believe the incident at the White House, at the Washington Hilton, was fake, compared with 45% who think it was legitimate. So 24% of U.S. adults think it was fake, 45% say it was legitimate. An additional 32% said they were unsure. At least they're being honest. I like that. Like, yeah, I don't know. I got to get back to work. It was a survey of 1,000 Americans. So 1,000 to account for, what, 380 million of us? 1,000 Americans, conducted by YouGov from April 28th to May 4th. So there you go. Interesting. I don't know. What would the numbers look like if we took a unscientific survey around here? I know there'd be some of y'all that say, oh, yeah, this is faked. I don't think many of you would. But hey, also... let me just take a beef here with the nappies, and they have one of their sections here, their awesome octogenarian, where you can vote for people that are over 80. And I see my buddy Wayne Dean, Chief Slack, on there, just saying. But what is the donut hole for us if you're too old to be, what is it, the up and coming under 40 list, and you're too young to be on the octogenarian list? What's left for the rest of us? I feel like I'm being discriminated against. Paul Feinbaum's on the way next. See y'all tomorrow.